our new melacha of kosher. I'll tell you, by the way, what an interesting thing. You know, sometimes when we learn halacha, we spend time learning these things that don't seem that relevant. Of course, it's all relevant, but when you have, you know, unusual circumstances like this, so many of the shittos that under normal circumstances, for example, you wouldn't pass them by, in a shasat chak like this, they become relevant. Just yesterday, we were discussing a very interesting Adam Chimad Kaila, and a lot of opinions that, again, that, you know, we studied when we learned this Adam Chimad that you never think are Lamaisa actually became Lamaisa. So that's one of the, that's why important. Why it's important to learn everything and to learn the Havana, learn all the shittos, and at times even shittos that you would normally think aren't relevant actually become relevant. So we're going to start the Melach of Kosher right now, and what I'd like to do is begin with a chakira about what the nature of the Melach of Kosher is. And what I'm even going to do is we'll be very fancy since we're on Zoom. I'm going to share a screen with you so you'll be able to see what I am referring to. I can find, where's the, oh, here. No, that's not it. Here it is. Okay. So you should be able to see now a screen that I've shared that says on top, Geder Melaches Kosher. And let's consider, we usually try to do the beginning of the Melacha, let's try to be Magdir the Melacha. So initially I thought of the three possible ways to define the Melacha of Kosher. And specifically, I think what's very important when defining what is kosher, figure out how is kosher different than tofer. What's the difference between the two? So one way to define of kosher, I guess the most natural way, is probably that kosher and tofer are actually the same type of thing. It's joining two things, except that when it comes to kosher, you're tying them together. And when it comes to tofer, you're sewing them together. But they're really the same thing. They're both joining two separate things, joining them together. They're both the same idea. It's just the question is, how do you do it? In other words, the truth is, if you think about it, we have many melachos that relate to creating things. Weaving is the creation of fabric. Sewing is the merger of two fabrics with thread. And it might not be limited to the thread. Tofer might include papers that are glued together, of course, Rambam, but still fundamentally it's the same. And tying is the merger of two pieces of string or rope, something like that, using a knot. That's possibility one. But according to this approach, option A, there's no fundamental difference between kosher and tofer. It's the more technical difference. How do you join these two things? Option number two is that, no, they're actually fundamentally two different acts. Tofer is about merging two things into one, uniting two different things, whereas kosher is joining them together, being mechaber them. But even after you're mechaber them, they retain their distinct identity. So kosher and tofer are fundamentally two different types of melachos. It's not just that one uses the kesher and one uses the ring, but rather tofer is about unifying two separate things, and kosher is about joining two things, but they retain their identity. We will see that a little later, especially when we do tofer, that the Aruch HaShulchan with Moshe adopt this type of approach, just to maybe consider an application. Rav Moshe, and this is in Or Chaim Chelik Basin and Peidav, says that using safety pins is mutter. There were Achronim and Poskim, like the Barba Nisanel, Rabbi Kiva Eger, also using safety pins in Shabbos because of Tofer. It's very similar to Tfira, right? Your pin is metal, but it's like a string. It's state spheros. It's going through the fabric and joining the two pieces of fabric together. So the halacha is that some were not here. And some, even if they're mako, they said fundamentally it's tfira. It just, we'll see later, it's a machlokas rishonim. There's some rishonim that say short-term tfira is mutter. So they say that using a safety pin is okay, using the safety pin is mutter for short-term, but fundamentally it's tfira. So Rav Moshe says no, because when you use a safety pin, each of the pieces retain their identity. You wouldn't really say they've merged to form a single unit. And therefore, since the definition of tofer is merging two things together, using a safety pin is totally not shayach to meleches tofer whatsoever. And therefore, he totally rejects the carbon nisano. So those are our first two definitions of the melacha. The third definition, and that would be the same thing. That's why Rav Moshe says, let's say, gluing is a tolda of tofer, not kosher, right? Gluing isn't tfira. It's not kshira or tfira. But why are you sticking it with tfira? Why is it more shayach to tofer than kosher? The answer is because when you glue two things together, they've merged to become a single unit. And therefore, conceptually, it's identical to tofer. So that's Rav Moshe's definition of the melacha. So that's the number two. And number three is the third definition of the melacha, maybe in a sense the most intuitive, is that the difference is that kosher, that the getter of the melacha is making a knot, right? It's not connecting things, but making a knot. That's the definition of melacha. Kosher, kishmohu, making a kesher. Kosher is making a kesher. So those are three conceptual understandings of what the melacha is. And now what we could do is start to look for evidence for any of these positions. So, and you could see, you see the screen I shared with you? You see those three options? All right. Okay, good. So that way I can just refer to them as one, two, and three. So, L'chora, the opinion of the Urayim, which is quoted at the end of the Ramah in Sif Aleph, clearly holds option three. Why? Because Urayim holds that if you tie a single knot on a single string, the Urayim writes that even though if you tie a half knot on two strings, that's not chayav, but if you tie a half knot on a single string, it is chayav. Now, let me explain what I mean by a half knot, just so we have terms. Okay. Could everyone see my string here? So let's say I am tying two strings together. Okay, here's one string, here's another string. If I tie them with, this is called a half knot, right? Half knot is like what you do when you, and in halachic terminology, kesher echad. Half knot's what you do when you first tie your shoes. This is nothing. Why? Among other things, it'll totally fall apart, right? Doesn't hold together. That's a kesher echad, a half knot, no issue whatsoever. The Urayim says if you tie a kesher echad with one string, you're chayev. What's kesher echad with one string? Like this. Right? Everyone see? Right? This is kesher echad with one string. Now, why? Because a kesher echad with one string is actually a very strong knot. It's never going to get undone. Right? This will last forever. And it's actually quite hard to untie. Kesher echad is chayev. Now, so that's what the Urayim says. If I do this, what I just did right now, if everybody could see it, this single knot on a string, then I am chayev. Now, in this case, have I merged two things? Have I joined two things? Have I connected two things? No, right? I can't hear any of you, but I assume there's agreement.
No.
No, all right. Awesome. Oh, shalom aleichem. What's the S for in your name?
Samantha.
Okay. I thought it was Shua. Shia.
That's what
Shia
Lefkowitz. Shia,
Shia. All right. So clearly the Uraim is accepting possibility number three. According to one and two, you certainly would not be chayav for making that not on a single string because you haven't connected anything. But if you define the malacha as making a knot, so then, of course, it makes a lot of sense that you would be chayav. You would be chayav in this case. So the Uraim seems to hold like definition number three. Now, l'chora, you could make a diuk that the Rambam disagrees with the Uraim. Again, we saw the Rambam paskins like the Uraim, but the Rambam seems to disagree. Why? Because the Rambam writes in Perek Yud, Halacha Tes, Hatofer shtei tfiros chayav, v'hu shekasher roshei hachut, Mikan umikan kadesh tamod hatfira the lo tishane aval and tafar yeser al shtei tfiros afal pishlo kashar chayav shehare miskayem es hatfira. So this is the Gemara. I hope you all saw in the Ein Dalam Beis. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says hatofer shtei tfiros are chayav, and the Gemara says it's not miskayem. So the Gemara answers, you made a kesher. So the Rambam says that's only if you did two tefiros, it's not miskayem. If you do three tefiros, even without a kesher, it's going to be miskayem. Fine. But the Rishonim are all bothered by the following question. If you made a kesher after your two tefiros, so you should be chayav mishum kosher. So we're going to see five or six answers to this question in a couple minutes. But Rambam has a pretty straightforward answer. The Rambam says you made a kesher at the end. In other words, you have your, let's see, we'll even use the whiteboard, if that could work. I don't know. All right. We'll go back to our shared document. This will be easier. Okay. So, let's see. Why is this not working? Here we go. So here's your cloth. Now, tell me, I haven't actually figured out the answer to this question yet, so if anybody knows the answer, I wasn't sure what shtei tfiros means. Shtei tfiros means going through twice or two full stitches. But let's assume it means going through twice, though I'm not sure that's correct. So you have two tfiros here in this picture, right? In other words, it's going through the black string in my picture is the thread with which I'm sewing. And the Rambam says, how do you prevent this? When the Gemara says, Vusha Kashran, what does that mean? You made a knot here, right? Like that knot that the Uraim described, and you made a knot over here. Okay. Everyone sees?
Yeah.
Okay. And now, because I've made these two knots, then it's not going to get undone. That's what the Rambam writes. Now, here's the kasha. The kasha is, but why aren't you then chayev for kosher? Right? And if you look at the Ramach on this Rambam, the Ramach asks this very question. The Ramach says, over here, you should be chayev mishum kosher and not just tofer. So why are you not chayav mishum kosher as well as tofer? That's the shaila, right? So l'chora, In a tsunami, according to the Urayim, if you did this, you would be chayiv. You'd be chayiv shtayim. You'd be chayiv mishum tofer, and you'd be chayiv mishum kosher. The Rambam presumably disagrees with the Urayim. The Rambam holds that there is no chayiv mishum kosher over here. Why? Because the Rambam would hold like one of the first two definitions of the malacha. And since over here, you're not merging anything together, you're not joining anything together, there's no malacha of kosher. Yes, you've made a knot, but you haven't done kosher. Kosher is about connecting two things, like in a mishkan. Whether you think that it's connecting strings in the weaving process or connecting the net in a fisherman for a chilazon, one way or the other, you're connecting two things. You make a knot that doesn't connect two things, that's not kosher. So in this case, the knots are not kosher. The Rambam holds like the first two definitions of the law. And therefore, the Rambam thinks that in this case, you're only chayiv mishum tofer, you're not chayiv mishum kosher. So that's a raya, maybe, that the Rambam disagrees with you. Now, is this 100% mufrach? No. Because I could say maybe the reason why you're not chayiv mishum kosher is because it's not a kesher shalumnus. We're going to see a little later that the Rambam holds that you're only chayiv for kosher is if it's a kesher shel kayam and a kesher shel umdus. This type of knot that I made before is by definition not a kesher shel umdus. How do I know it's by definition? Because I could make it. I'm not an umdus, so it's not a kesher shel umdus. We'll define a little later what a kesher shel umdus is.
You're getting in trouble because then double knots are permitted.
The shel tegiburim is a massive chiddush in the Rambam, but we'll get there a little bit later. Lemaisa.
If Rebbe makes the massive chiddush, then Rebbe is siding with the second option here, right?
No, I think it's a massive chiddush because the pashas is not omnus. But like, but we're gonna get
the pashas is not omnus, like, right? Like Rebbe's.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Not, what, like, I, this is not. There's no. There's like the raya say one has to accept the shel tegiburim to accept this raya that Rebbe.
Excellent. But, okay, we're gonna get there. Getting ahead of ourselves, but. Not necessarily, because Rambam didn't say what type of knot you did at the end, but what Dani is pointing out, which is a reasonable point, we'll even accept it tentatively for now, is that these two answers might depend on the shel tegiburim. In other words, if you accept the shel tegiburim, then the Rambam disagrees with the Urayim. If you reject the shel tegiburim and you think that you need a real professional knot to be chayiv for the Rambam, so then there's no raya that he doesn't hold to the Urayim. Okay. Excellent. Now, Yoni, I see you even got your own name.
That's correct.
All right. Now, so is there another raya from the Rambam that maybe he disagrees with the So maybe another raya is because the Rambam in Halacha Yud, Perek Yud, Halacha Tes and Yud writes that if you're Oseh Chavalim, if you make rope on Shabbos, which is, you know, when you make rope, you take like a lot of different smaller strands and you twist them together to make ropes, you're Posel Chavalim. So the Rambam says that that too is Chayav Nishon Kosher. Now, Lachora, there's no knot. If you hold like the Urayim, that the definition of the malacha is creating a knot, then how could you possibly be chayav for posel chavalim? There is no knot. Elamai sounds like the Rambam holds that the definition of the malacha is not what the Urayim holds, making a knot. For the Urayim, for sure you would be pater for posel chavalim because there is no knot. But if the Rambam defines the malacha according to one of the first two options, we can see which one.
Why?
One second, let's just finish. Follow one of the first two options, which define kosher as connecting things. So then you could imagine conceivably that you could have a chiyuv for rope making, even though there's no knot. In other words, just like you're going to be chiyuv for you're mitzavik miaros, even though there's no thread and there's no cloth. So too, maybe you could be chayav mishum kosher if there is, even without a knot. So this might be a raya that the Rambam again doesn't hold on the Urayim. Now, among the first two options, which would make sense over here, so Torah, the first option makes a little more sense, because even though there's no kesher, there's also no tefira. It's more like kesher, maybe you could say. So it's hard to understand that. According to the second option, then this should really be tofer. Because again, what was the second option? What's the conceptual difference between kosher and tofer? The conceptual difference between kosher and tofer is that tofer is about merging multiple things into a single unit, and kosher is where each one retains its identity. So when you make rope, I would imagine that you see a rope as a single unit. You don't see it as a bunch of fibers that are distinct. Rather, the fibers, when you twist them together, form rope. So if you follow the position of the second view, then making rope should really be a tolda of tofer, not kosher. It's like being nothing in the earth. So the only way to understand why rope making would be chayev is to choose option number one. Even one isn't so clear. That's what I was thinking. But how would we defend one? Still, even according to one, why is this kosher and not tofer? Because we can't just say it's kosher because it's a knot. There is no knot. So maybe the reason why it's kosher and not tofer is because what is the difference between kosher and tofer? Maybe the difference between kosher and tofer is that kosher is when you join two things without a medium, but by itself, whereas tofer is when you use something else to connect two things, like thread. When you sew two pieces of fabric together, you use thread to combine, to join the two fabrics. When you glue two pieces of paper together, you use the medium of glue to join the two papers. When you tie two things together, you don't use something external, you use itself to connect the two things, like a knot. So in that case, being posel chavalim, creating rope, are you using something else to combine the two things? No, you're using the thing itself. That would be the difference. So now we have a modified version of option one. So if we go back to option one, and we, here's, let me do it this way, it'll be clearer. If we go back to option number one, where I am, be'etzem shneim oso davar, chibur, elosh achad al yidei kesher v'achad al tefira. Okay, we have to change that. How are we going to say it? That option number one is going to be elosh achad, is one of them is without a medium, and one of them is with, Okay. Be'etzem shneim oso davar chibur, elosh tefira hi chibur al yidei davar acher, like chut or devek, and kosher is chibur al yidei hadavar atzmo, like kesher or even asiyas chevel. And that would explain the Rambam, why posel chevelim is chayav mishum kosher, and it would also explain why the Rambam paters you for kosher when you have kesher b'sof achot. Now, what we just said, though, is that l'chora option B is wrong, right? So I told you before that option B is the view of Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe defends option B and tries to explain why posel chavalim is chayav mishum kosher and not tofer. In other words, again, what's our shayla? Our shayla is, if you accept option B says that tofer is defined as merging multiple things into one, and kosher, each one retains its identity, so then chavalim should be tofer, not kosher. So we'll see how Rav Moshe answers that question, but I cuff Gabe before. Gabe, you want to ask your question? We can't hear you. You're on mute.
It's okay. I thought of an answer.
Okay. So,
if you're going to say that it's merging something like the item itself, would that mean that if I like stick silly putty to itself, that that's tofer, not kosher?
No, because it started off as two things. if in theory, if you had two pieces of silly putty, that, you know, there might be eno kayama, so it might be pater a different thing. But that's an interesting question. Possibly, if you had two pieces of silly putty and you smushed them together to make one piece, that would be an interesting shiloh. Again, it's probably eno kayama, but yeah, you'd have to think about that. Is that like posel havalah? Is that what you were thinking, Gabe?
I don't know. I just don't understand why you can't say when you make chavalim that that's just a form of, that's keina and not a form. When you
that's going to be the second option. Good. I agree with that option. We'll get there in one moment. So let's go back to Rav Moshe. So again, Rav Moshe adopted option B, that the definition of tofer is merging two things, as opposed to kosher, where each one retains its identity. So Rav Moshe now has to answer the question, why is posel chavalim chayev mishum tofer, kosher and not tofer? So let's read it together. Again, you see it on the screen I shared with you. Vine mashma lenias daiti od tam. Dine a rambam kasav ha posel chavalim menahutzin o menachalaf o mechutei tsemer o mechutei pishtan o chutei seyar kiyotzi ben amezit told us kosher v'chayev umafrin esapsil amezit told us matir v'chayev. My time of law, they now told us tofer. So that's his kasha. We'll skip to his answer. Od yoser. The meleches tofer who rak masha oseh davar echad kol kach dikshehu rotze l'chalkam utzarech l'meleches kriya v'af she'efshar l'fa'amim l'chalkam be'otzas achot. Aval gam zeh nechshav v'nikra b'fi kol korea. So v'nechshav v'nikra, it's like the Shilta Giborim again. It's called v'nikra b'fi kol korea sabaged kimo b'kriya mamish. Right? Masha'en kein in the rope. Skipping words highlighted. Nimtza shalonasu echa mamish. Sharei hek shirota mafridan osan v'chein en shach zeh l'tover. Aval l'kshira Hudova mamish, she got kosher. Af ba'ofen she'osa shiu davar echad k'shirot zochachma haderech lasos behataras hakesher. So he's actually trying to keep the gedder of the malacha that he said before, and he's saying, how are you going to know sometimes whether two things have merged to become one, or they are retained their identity? So the answer is, we will know that by looking at how you take them apart. When it comes to two things that are sewn together, how do you take them apart? You don't take out the thread that merges them. You don't take out the stitches. You just rip them or you cut them. So that shows that they're truly merged. And he says, even if you were, it's a very strange thing to do, it's a big pain, but even if you were to theoretically take out that thread, still everybody calls it, meaning everybody sees it as korea. But how would you, let's say you wanted to take apart a rope, what would you do? You would unravel it. You would unravel it. So therefore, it's more like kosher than tofer. Because just like kosher, if you want to undo the knot, you untie the knot. Now, this actually brings up an interesting issue we'll get back to later. What is breaking a knot considered matir or not? We'll get back to that. But the way you get rid of a knot is by untying a knot. And likewise, the way you would get rid of a rope would be to unravel the rope. And therefore, it's a malach of kosher and not tofer. So again, what he tries to do, let's chazer our three options to be magdir the malacha. Option A, it's the same thing, it's joining together two things. But tfira is when you join two things together through another medium, like thread or glue, and kshira is when you join two things together, minei ubei. And this would explain why making rope is a violation of kosher, and it would also explain why the Rambam says that making a single knot at the end of the tefillah is not chayav mishum kosher. Option two is that tefillah is defined by merging two things, shira is defined by connecting things in a way that's not a merger, and the reason why making rope is not tofer is because if you wanted to unravel rope, you would unravel it. And that shows that it never really merged. In other words, to figure out whether there was a true merger or not, you look at the way it's undone. And finally, option three, the position of the uranium, is that the way that you define the loss is making a kesher, in which case the way in which you define that's the definition of halacha, in which case making a single knot at the end would be. Now,
could one offer possibly?
And then there's a third. So what does the Rambam hold? So theoretically, the Rambam could hold of all three, right? And how would the Rambam hold of option three, the Urayim? So you'd have to say two Chidushim and Rambam. Number one is you'd have to say what Gabe suggested before. Maybe we'll say that making a rope is a kesher. Now, it's not a normal knot, but maybe the twisting of the rope, the fibers that make the rope, that's like a knot. Then we could say the Rambam holds like the Urayim. And to answer the Ramah's question, then you would have to say, disagree with the Shilta Giborim, right? So that's how the Rambam could hold of option number three. So really, theoretically, we could learn the Rambam as holding all three options. The Urayim holds of option three. I think the Rambam most neatly fits into option one, but you could be miyashiv the Rambam for all three mahalchim. Yes, Gabe, you have your hand up.
And now I don't know how to take my hand down. I managed. Okay. Is it possible to say, I guess, more balabatishly, that kosher really is just the same thing as kosher, but it's just kosher whenever you're involving string or thread or anything like that?
So you could say that.
And then if you say like that, that would explain why there's no iser of kriya when you cut a string?
So a couple of things. Good. So that is an option. That's closest to option number one, the way we originally understood it. One reason not to hold of that is to say, why should not bik niyaros behind mishum tofer? There's also no string. So you could answer that question. I saw one achra that said, that basically tried to make Gabe's argument, and he said that you're right, but you could join together two pieces of paper with thread instead of glue, like the way they make a sefer Torah. So he has a modified version of Gabe's point. If you could use anything involving string is kosher, anything involving thread is tofer, and matzah yaros is chayik because theoretically you could use thread. It's not a very elegant definition, that's why they mentioned it, but it's not bad. Not bad. Okay. I see that Yoni has begun the apple. Okay. Fine. So let's try to figure out some other rayos to this question. So there's a machokas tanayim if you're chayev for an aniva. Right? An aniva is a slip knot. A knot that you can take apart without undoing. Let me just explain. We'll use my demonstration again. A normal knot, like this, the only way to undo this knot is by being matir, by taking it apart, right? An aniva is a slip knot. Like when you tie your shoes, you make an aniva. You can untie it by pulling the string. Or here, this is an aniva. Why? Because how do we untie this knot? I didn't have to undo it. I just went like that. For now, I'm going to assume that's the definition of the aniva. Maybe there are those that disagree with me, but that's the pashtus, I think. So there's a machlokas tanaim, whether you're chayv for an aniva. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayv, and according to Rabbanan, you're pater. So let's try to understand what they're arguing about. L'chayra, there's two options. Option A is that everybody agrees that you need a kasher, and they're debating whether an aniva is a kesher. Not Rabbi Yehuda says aniva is a kesher, Rabbanan says it's not. Option B is that they're debating whether you need a kesher. In other words, everybody agrees an aniva is not a kesher. A kesher, anything that you could just slip out, a slip knot, is not a knot. And the debate is whether or not you need a kasher. In other words, this of course brings us back to the definition of the melacha. Now, and perhaps that's cool for what they're arguing about. Now, are there any riots from the Rishonim? So the Miyuchas Laran on Daf Ayin Dal Adam Abbas, the same Gemara we referred to before, where the Gemara says V'husha Kashran, writes like the second option we just said before. They're arguing the Machlokas Tanaim is whether you need a kasher or not. Why? Because he writes the following. He writes that he gives the following answer to the question. He says, V'husha Kashran. So again, the Rishonim are trying to figure out a way where you made a kasher without being chayav for kshira. So an answer that a number of Rishonim give, the Ramban, this is one of the answers in the Ritva, is that you didn't actually tie a knot after you did the two stitches. You shazran, you wound them up together, right? If you look at my demonstration over here, right? I wound it up. So that's the answer that the Ramban gives. One answer, the Ritva. And so, therefore, you're chayev mishum tofer, because by winding them together, that's going to prevent the two tefiros from undoing. But you're not chayev mishum kosher, because for kosher, you need a knot. Winding two things together is not kosher. First of all, we'll get back to this in a moment. Does that indicate that he disagrees with the Rambam? Maybe, about making ropes. We'll get there. But leaving that aside for the moment, so we're saying winding two things together is, even though it will stick, it's not chayav mishum kosher. That's the Ramban's answer. Says the Ran, that answer is going to be totally in the machlokas rebut in Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, you wouldn't be chayav mishum kosher. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would be. Why? Why? Because the Ran is saying that what's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan? Do you need a kasher? Do you need a kasher? Rabbi Yehuda says, don't need a kasher. Rabbanan say, you need a kasher. So nafkamina number one is aniva. Nafkamina number two is twisting together, right? The classical contemporary example of this is twist ties. Can you use twist ties on Shabbos? So the Ran says, that is going to be the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. If you learn like Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need a kasher, and therefore using a twist tie would be chayev. Or with Rabbanan, you do need a kasher. That's why aniva is potter, and so too twist tie would be potter, and presumably even mutter. This would be a shaila both with respect to kosher and matir, right? With respect to matir as well, because you untwist tie a twisty. Could you undo it? So according to Rabbanan, the answer would be yes. According to Rabbanan, the answer is no. So we're going to talk about this lemaisa a little bit later. But that l'chayra is the way, again, option two. We asked before, what's the machlokas tribute in Rabbanan? And we have two options. One option is they're disagreeing whether aniva is a kasher or not. Option two is they're disagreeing whether you need a kasher or not. According to the Miyuchas Laran, they're disagreeing about whether you need a kasher or not. Rabbanan say you need a kasher to be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda saying you don't need a kasher to be chayev.
Miyuchas Laran?
Yeah.
Where is the Miyuchas Laran?
Over here, Ayin Dal Adam Abbas. So, now. Well, so obviously, let's say, at the very least, Rabbi Yehuda couldn't hold the definition number three, because he says you're chai mishum kosher even without a kasher. For the Rabbanan, still an open question. Now, the Rambam, let's see, what would he say about this? So we already saw before that the Rambam holds that you're chayev from twisting strands into a rope. So the Rambam l'chora disagrees with this answer of the Ramban and the Ran. How do I know? Because the Rambam obviously doesn't pass on the way of Yehuda, you're not chayav for making a slip knot for an aniva, but he says you are chayav for twisting together rope, right? Rambam seems to assume, let's say, the twist size shayla. Let's assume for a moment making rope is like a twist tie because you twist together. So the Rambam is saying twist ties are aser, but anivas are mutter. So obviously, either we have two options. Unless either one option is that chavalim is a kasher, but then we're stuck because if chavalim is a kasher, even though there's no kasher, so why is an aniva not a kasher? So you could say, no, there's another reason to pater aniva. The reason to pater aniva, what would that be? Maybe because, right, well, let's ask the question. Why would aniva be pater for the Rambam? Right? You could have an aniva that's a maisa oman. There's some anivas that for sure maisa omans are very hard to make. So why would, and l'chora you could also have an aniva that's miskayim, that will last forever. So why would an aniva be pater for the Rambam? Why would an aniva be pater? What logic would you say?
Not a maisa oman, no?
It's not meta, it's not tight.
It could be very tight. No?
By definition, if you
could. Yeah, at the very least, it could be long lasting.
Also, what would it mean to be shal omnus? If I make an aniva with extra fancy twirls, it doesn't make the knot any stronger or fancier.
Oh,
anything.
So good. Excellent. So this brings us to the question of omnus again. For now, I'm assuming maybe not like the shal tegi bogem. Omnus means something that an omna needs to do. Right? I remember being. Years ago, you were bothering me for asking me questions of lots of different possible ties, Windsors and half Windsors and double Windsors, and that funny knot that you used to make for your ties that made your ties look inside out and backwards, right?
I kill you, though.
You still use it. Okay, good. When I was in Smicha, one of my roommates took out from the library a book on 100 different ways to tie your ties. So there's 100 different knots. Gabe probably knows 200. So that you might need an oman to do, right? A bow tie. I don't know. Bow tie is an aniva that requires an oman, and it's very tight. It could last for a long time. So you have to figure out why that would be pater. Could be what you said is right, but certainly not pashat. Maybe the easier shot is to say that the Rambam thinks that it's not shayach that it could be kayama if it's omed l'hatir. In other words, why would anybody ever tie an aniva? You tie an aniva because you want to be able to easily undo it. Even though it would last, you want to easily be able to undo it.
So
the problem with that, by the way, the reason why it's not so pashut, is because the Rambam says you are chayav when yachol atiro be'echa miyadav, right? And that too is a machlokas hatanayim. But the Rambam says that even though if you could be madir be'echa miyadav, you're chayav. Even though, again, l'chora, it's omid lahatir, that's why you tied it loosely. So why is that different from an aniva? Unless you say that an aniva is worse because the whole nature of its creation is in order to untie it. But maybe the first thought is more correct. Yes, Danny?
Just 2 points. First of all, on the miyuchas l'ran, so
yeah.
I'm not sure how Rabbi knows these things on either side. Like maybe, first of all, the Lashonai Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel Men Aleph, the Pashtus, is Bethirsh. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, aniva gufa kshirhi. That's the Lashon HaGemara. So the Gemara sounds like it's saying that aniva
is. Well, that could be, and maybe I agree the Pashtus with what you're saying, but maybe aniva just means aniva's chayv mishum kosher.
I don't think that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is not, I don't think that fits the Shach of the Karya.
Okay.
And why,
I hear what you're saying.
The Miuchas Laran, I think, could just be saying that
what do you read the
I'm sorry?
Why don't you read the Milchus L'Ran for everybody?
Sure. His lashon is V'husha Kashran. I assume this is only the Gemara about Topher. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is Kivon Ze Al Ze V'Shadran. So you put them on top of each other in Shadran, okay? Biad. The Ashav Miskayemes Tatfiris. So the Tfir will be Miskayemes. Udulo Karabi Yehuda. The Amar Lakaman Aniva Hainuk Shira. This is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Aniva is itself Kshira.
Okay, so the way I read that, and you'll tell me your reading, but the way I read that was, we're saying that if you were Shazrun, right, so you twisted them together, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be Chayev Mishon Kosher, and according to Rabbanan, you're Pater from Kosher. So we've answered this question according to Rabbanan. In other words, right? So what the Miuchas L'Ran is saying is that a nafkamina between Rabbi and Rabbanan, one nafkamina is aniva, another nafkamina is shizira. According to Rabbanan, you are pater and mutter maybe for shizira, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be chayev. Just like the argument about aniva, so to the argument about shizira. Now, the question then is, so if the pshat is like the first option, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan disagree as to whether an aniva is a kesher or not, like you were suggesting, Donnie, that Rabbanan holds aniva is not a kesher, and Rabbi Yehuda holds aniva is a kesher. So just because Rabbi Yehuda holds aniva is a kesher, it's a tasty that he holds shizira is a kesher, ma inyan shizira etzel aniva, maybe...
That's the reason to tell me that that's true, but that's not a paladik svara, and he has a wider definition of what a kesher is. He said...
But it's not machrach. I could argue that an aniva is much more of a kesher than shizira.
Is that true? Does Rabbi think that... How do we know that an aniva is more kesheridic than a shizira?
Lashon b'nei adam. In English, we call an aniva a knot. We don't call a twist tie a knot. An aniva...
So it's a raya against the Shlomo Zalman. Okay, did Rabbi have another raya?
The reason, just intuitively, an aniva really does is a knot. It's a knot that you might be able to undo easily, but it's nevertheless a knot. And shizira, there is no knot. It's just twisting two things together. So I agree you could clarify about whether shizira is or not or is not a knot, but why is it pashut that shizira is equivalent to an aniva? You could definitely make the case that they're different. Anyway, I hear what you're saying, but that is the reason why I learned the way I learned, because it's not obvious that shizira is identical to aniva. At least I didn't think it was obvious. Okay, so that's what I was assuming. And in terms of Lashon L'Gemara that you're asking from Dani, I would say that you're right. It's a little more dolchak this way, but it's not terrible. When the Gemara says aniva gufa kshiri, according to what it means. It's melechus kosher. It's not kasher. Okay, good. So let's go back. Let's go back to this question that we raised earlier, the Gemara Ein Dalet Amud Beis, and think about all the possible answers we have to this question. I know it's a Gemara about Topher, but as we've been seeing, this Gemara by Topher really tells us a lot about kosher. So again, just to review, the Gemara Ein Dalet Amud Beis says the following: HaTopher Shtei Tfiros. The Gemara asks, "Bahalo kaima, why do you chayev for shtei tefiros? It's not kayama. It's going to get undone. It's going to open up." Amar Rabbi Barachan and Rabbi Yochanan v'hu shekashman. You made a kasher. So the kasha is, why isn't it chayev mishum kosher b'chiyai gavna? So let's start with the Ritva. The Ritva has three answers. So let's start over there. Here we have it on the screen that I shared with you. So the Ritva here is quoting Tosfos, V'lchayv Nami Mishim Kosher, and we have three answers. Number one, V'tirtzu. And we'll just read these three answers, and then we're going to analyze each one of the three answers separately. Answer number one, V'tirtzu, Dekevan de'ein hakshira rak lahamin atfira, hashvila mishum tofer mucha. This is a remarkable answer. That in a chanami, you made a kesher here, but this kesher was only to be maimid the tfira. So it's like batel to the tfira, and therefore you're not chayev mishum kosher, just tofer. Okay? Answer number one. Again, we'll go back to it to analyze it. Answer number two. Umar yarat piresh de kashran lav dafka el sheher kivan ze al ze the shazran biyad lakaima tfira. So Umar yarat here seems to be the Ramban, or maybe the other as well, but the Ramban gives this answer. And this is, we also saw in the Miuchas Liran, that we're talking about here, we didn't make a kesher. Instead, you simply twisted the two strings together so that the tefira, it's makai the tefira. And finally, answer number three, v'odiyah shlomar, kigon shekashran al menas lahatir. You made a kesher, but it's a kesher menas lahatir. Achvechem, mishuk shira leka, as we'll discuss probably next time, to Michaev Mishum Kosher, you need a Kesher Shel Kayama. Or Mishum Tfir Ikka, the Kimchi Miskayama Safshav. In other words, this is a very fascinating answer. Each one of these is like a tremendous answer along this. That there's a difference between Tofer and Kosher, according to this answer. To Michaev Mishum Kosher, you need Kesher Shel Kayama. To Michaev Mishum Tofer, you don't need Tfir Shel Kayama. All you needed to do is be Miskayama Safshav. So when you have the Kavana to undo the knot, that prevents you from being chayiv mishum kosher, but not mishum tofer. This, by the way, again, we'll return to this barichos next time, seems to be against the approach of the bir halacha, more like the approach of the Taz, that we don't look at the knot, but really the kavana to decide whether or not you're chayiv mishum kosher. Okay, so let's go back to all three answers and analyze what each of these three answers holds. So we'll start with answer number one. So answer number one was that you did make a kesher at the end of the knot, but the kesher is only to be maimid the tefira, and therefore you're chayav mishum tofer, but not kosher, even though lemaisa you made a knot. So to me, so why would this be, right? Why is it that if I made a knot, I am potter from kosher? So if you learn, like, definition number two, this is the one that we said, like, with Moshe, I think this answer makes perfect sense. It's mamish beautiful. What is the definition of tofer? Merging two things together. Here, you've merged two things together. You've taken two fabrics, and you've merged them into one. Now, you've used a kesher to as part of that merger, because you made two tefiros and then you made a kesher at the end to hold them together. But the kesher is just to be machzik the tefira. But etzem, what you did here was merge two pieces of fabric together, even though you used a knot. And therefore, since what you're doing is a merger, you're chayv mishum tofer. It's just like with Moshe, the opposite case of what Moshe says about the safety pin. The safety pin is a maisa tefira, but since you're not merging them together, it's not shaych to tofer. And here, you didn't do a maisa tefira. You actually made a kesher with shtei tefiros, but you made a kesher. But still, since you've merged the two things together, you're chayv mishum tofer. Now, you could also say, by the way, this is the pshat Rambam we saw before. Remember, the Rambam said that if you have two tefiros, plus you make a knot at the end of each of the two tefiros, right? Remember that ugly picture I drew on the shared screen? So that is chayiv mishum what? Mishum tofer, not kosher. Aye, but you made a knot. So before we said, oh, maybe you see it doesn't hold like the Urayim, right? So now I'll say a different answer. I'll say no. I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But since it kesher was only meant to be minded the tefira, so be'etzem, this is an act of tofer. But if you made a single knot that was not to be minded the tefira, conceivably, you probably wouldn't want to say this, but conceivably it could be chayiv. And I think this mahalich is also, conceptual mahalich, also works well for the third answer of the ritva, right? What was the third answer of the ritva? That you did a kasher al menas lahatir. So you're pater for kosher chayiv mishum tofer. So why would it be that tfira doesn't need kayama, but kshira does need kayama? Mi gila lanu raz zeh, right? How do we know? You can say from the Mishkan. That's not a good answer, because they both were chover, were that way in the Mishkan, right? In the Mishkan, you know, the kshira was shel kayama and the tfira was shel kayama. So why are you going to say, it must be a svara, right? We know misvara that kasher is pater if it's not kayama. That's Rashi invokes Mishkan. But this answer of the ritva couldn't possibly hold of the Mishkan svara, because in the Mishkan there were both shel kayama. So why, we need some type of logic, some svara to explain why kosher needs to be kayama and tofer doesn't. So if we hold of logic, you know, definition of halacha number two, this makes a lot of sense. Why? Maybe the pshat is that when you've merged two things into one, so then there's chashivas, even if it's only temporary, because at least you've merged them into one. But if you're not merging them into one, you've just joined them together, which is a definition of kosher. So then there's no chashivos if it's al menas lahatir, if it's not shel kayama, because you haven't even done anything. The whole malacha is joining, but you haven't really joined them. But again, when it comes to lechas tofer, then there is a lot of chashivos. There could be chashivos, even though you're going to undo them. So maybe the Bart of the conceptual difference, the definition of malacha number one, works very nicely to explain this third answer of the ritva. And certainly I think it's necessary to explain the first answer of the ritva. Now, this vart that we just banged, this answer number three of the answer number three here of the ritva is making a very important halacha l'maisa point, which is worth thinking about for a moment, a very important halacha l'maisa point, right? This answer is saying that kosher almanas lahatir is pater, but tofer almanas lahatir is chayev, correct? Now, this question is actually a machlokes rishonim. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef from the Hagos Mordechai Tufnun Zion. It's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Yoel and the Riva. Now, again, I know that this is really, you know, we should do when we do Malachas Tofer, but since it comes up over here in the Ritva, and you also saw that it's Siv Gimel in the Beis Yosef, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch also in the context of Malachas Kosher. So we'll talk about it for a minute over here. Maybe we'll get back to it later. But briefly, Rabbeinu Yoel says that the case that they're talking about is where you have shoes that have been sewn together. So are you allowed to rip them apart? So according to Rabbeinu Yoel, it's mutter. Why? It's tfira she'ena shel kayama, right? Just like for matir, there's no iser of matir when it's eno shel kayama. There's no iser of korea when it's eno shel kayama. In other words, this is the exact opposite of answer number three, the ritva, right? According to the ritva, this would be an iser d'oraisa, because you have tfira she'eno shel kayama, but you're chayev for tfira she'eno shel kayama shel tofer. Presumably it would be chayev for korea of tfira she'eno shel kayama. So Rabbeinu Yoel has this tremendous kula that when you have tfir she'enol shel kayama, that's mutter. It's mutter to be korea tfir she'enol shel kayama, opposite of the ritva. However, the Riva says exactly like the ritva. The Riva says this is usher. Why? Just like for kosher There's for tefira, unlike kosher, where there's a difference between kosher shel kayama and kosher sheino shel kayama, for tofer, there is no difference. And that's the third answer of the Ritva, right? I'll give you a, let's give some, just some practical illustrations of this to think about. We talked about before the safety pin. So we said, according to Moshe, a safety pin has no shaychus to tefira at all because of his definition of the malacha, that tefira means merging, safety pins don't merge. So let's say you don't accept Rav Moshe. You all like the carbon nisanel. Rabbi Hidegger seems to paskin that way. The Magen Avraham cites it. The Rav Yashiv, for example, thinks that we paskin using a safety pin is usher. Okay. So I want to use a safety pin short term, right? Let's even say less than 24 hours, right? The hem of my pants broke, and I want to use a safety pin to close it. Or in old-fashioned cloth diapers, right? So if you hold like, right, assuming we don't hold like Rav Moshe, if you hold like Rabbeinu Yoel, what's going to be the halacha? It's mutter. Why? Because just like kosher less than 24 hours is mutter, so tutofer less than 24 hours is mutter, so you're allowed to use a safety pin for the baby diaper, or to, to close, women sometimes use a safety pin to close their shirt or something like that. But if you hold like the Riva, that would be aser. Like we said, according to Moshe, you could be matir even according to the Riva. Now, though, we ourselves argued that Rav Moshe Svara works a lot better if that way. Anyway, good. Another place that this comes up is diapers. Right? Again, according to Rav Moshe, either way, diapers are going to be mutter because we wouldn't look at it as a merger. But let's say you're machmir against that Rav Moshe. So diapers are very short term. Right, you have to change the baby's diaper every 3-4 hours. Is it going to be aser al tzma'at b'kniaros? According to this lechora, if you don't say like Rav Moshe, should be totally in the machlokas between the Riva and Rabbeinu Yoel. Yes, Yoshua.
According to Rav Yoshua, you can't use a safety pin. How do they use old-fashioned diapers? What are they?
A good question. I don't know. And the Rav Yoshua, I'll just tell you where I saw it. It's just, I saw it in the Hezaros to the Gemara. So I don't know. And maybe if we look at the Sfar that quote Rav Yashiv more. That's what he says.
This meeting is being recorded.
So how do we paskin in this machlokas of Sif Gimel between Riva and Rabbeinu Yoel? So the Ramah is a very interesting psak. The Ramah writes that Ein lahatir bifnei am haaretz. What does that mean? So everyone here in this virtual room is a Talmud Chacham, so we can say as much as you guys. What?
I think I may have to leave now.
Ha! It's interesting because in different areas of halacha, we have this term called Talmud Chacham. In one place, the Ramah writes it means someone who knows most of halacha, most of shas, whatever it is. Can baki and masu matan. Right, we talked about that when we did Halchos Avelos, actually.
I'm always across the board. Don't worry.
But the posts can say that for these halachos, Am Haaretz is someone who understands this distinction. In other words, the Ramah was concerned that if you see someone doing temporary tefira, or temporary or korei on something that was temporarily sewn, they're not going to understand the distinction between shalkayama and not shalkayama. They'll be matir, just like I was able to cut the two shoes that were tied, that were sewn together. I could also cut other things, right? So someone who is knows this distinction and can understand this distinction wouldn't have the status of an am haaretz for these purposes. Now, that's I think so. I think certainly you could understand it. That's why you could make the case. I saw some hold that you could say everybody would be matir diapers, right? Why would everybody be matir diapers? She could actually make a couple of reasons for it. One reason is because nobody would. The reason for the Ramah's concern to sort of be machmir bifnam arex is because somebody's going to jump from here to like cutting something that's permanent or sewing something that's permanent. So would anybody jump from diapers to that? So probably not. So maybe it doesn't apply by diapers. I don't know if that's such a good argument, because okay, you won't jump, you know, the Am Haaretz won't jump from diapers to sewing. It's true, he's not, you have to have a very smart Am Haaretz to make that jump. But he might jump from diapers to stickers, right? Let's say especially the old, you know, that just like you're allowed to seal the diaper, so you're allowed to put on a sticker. But putting on a sticker, if it's a permanent sticker, could be an Isser D'oraisa, not Big Niaros. So I don't know, maybe that's not a good argument. Some try to argue that that everybody would agree to Rabbeinu Yoel by Madbik Niaros. Their only debate is by the Av, not by the Tolda. We'll talk a little bit later about whether that makes any sense. So again, what are we saying? The Pashtus is really we paskin mikaradin lahaka like Rabbeinu Yoel. It's just that you shouldn't be made lifneam haaretz, because that might lead to people misunderstanding the halach. You have to take into account, you know, what type of things people will derive from your actions. So that is what I thought was the pashtus. I'm a little confused about this, because I did see some poskim assume, unless I misunderstood them, that the Ramah's machmir on the Shaila. Look at the Chazon Ish, it's Aruch Chaim in a letter in Siman Shin Mem. He sounds like he understood the Ramah as being machmir. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Shin Mem, Sif Katam Chav Zayin. He also seems to be machmir here. I don't know. But again, the Pashup Shad is the Ramah certainly paskening Lekula Mikaradin, but you can't do it Bifnei Ham Haaretz. Okay. Now, let's do one more answer, and let's see what we'll see. Try to finish it a little bit. So, we had, again, what was our kasha from the Gemara? The Gemara answered, "Misha kasha, so why are you not chayv mishum kosher?" So, we've seen a bunch of answers. The Yireim has another answer to this question. The Yireim writes that you made kesher echad, not shtei kshiros, right? Remember, kesher echad, a half knot? So, kesher echad is going to be enough to keep the stitching from unraveling, but it's not enough to be chayv mishum kosher. So this is very similar to answers number 1 and 3 of the Ritva. The Chidush Aran also quotes this, and the Ritva Kafei quotes this also. Right, this is very similar to answers number 1 and 3 of the Ritva. In other words, what are we basically answering? We're saying that you made a kesher, but it's a kesher that's enough to make you chayv mishum tofer, because it keeps it in, but not enough to be chayv mishum kosher. To be chayv mishum kosher, you need kesher agave kesher. So let's actually stop and think about this for a moment. Why is it that to be chayv for kosher, you need kesher agave kesher? Chora, you could say in two ways. Number one is because it's not a kesher shel kayava, in which case, this is similar to the third answer of the Ritva. Number two is more along the lines of the Urim that we mentioned at the beginning, that the gather of the melacha is making a kasher. Kasher echad is not a kasher, even though it joined two things, but it's still not a kasher. If that's the approach, actually, then it's a slightly different than the other answers. Fine. Now, I thought from the Smug, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, it sounds more like the first option. Namely, the reason why Kesher Echad isn't Chayev, according to the Urayim, is because it's not Miskayev. The Lashon of the Smug was, Amnam Yesh Ksharim Shemiskayim B'Kesher Echad, Kagon Shekosher Chevel B'Rosho, right? He's holding like the Urayim. Bein Kosher Beis Roshim B'Yachad. V'chein Kokios Mizeh. Ratz Lomad Adba Inan Kesher Dachazinan Dekshe Kosher Kesher Echad B'Rosho Chevel Miskayim. Ve'ech Ne'amar Kan Du B'Roshchot Gam Kein Tzarch Kesher. I'll Gam Be Kesher. In other words, the way the Smug is citing this view of the Urayim, it sounds like it's all totally in whether or not it's Miskayim. So again, B'Kitzer, we have the Urayim. The Urayim says that you made one knot, not two. You're Chayim Mishum Tofer, not Kosher. Right? The question is, why do you need two knots to be Chayim Mishum Kosher? We have two options. Option number one is because you need a kesher. Option number two is because kesher echad isn't miskayim, and if it's not miskayim, you're chayv mishum tofer, but not mishum kosher, like the third answer of the Ritva. What other answers do we have in the Gemara? We have the Ramban's answer. We already mentioned that that we're talking about a case of shazran. That was one of the answers of the Ritva. That was what we saw. The Ran says it's Machlokas Tanayim. There's another answer of the Ritva. The Ritva has three answers here. He's a fourth answer on Kuf Hei Amud Beis. Take a look over there. I don't know what it's doing over there. You might have had a different gears or something. But anyway, if you look at the Ritva on Kuf Hei Amud Beis, he answers the question. Amachanami, Taka Yerchayv also Mishum Kosher. As when the Gemara says Ushakashran, when you made a knot, so then you would be Chayv Mishum Tofer and Chayv Mishum Kosher. You know, that was the answer to the Ramach's question. The Rav Avadi Mibar Tanur in the Mishnah also gives this answer, and the Magen Avraham actually cites it, which is sort of interesting, even though basically almost all the other Rishonim try to avoid saying an Achanami. The Ritva in Kuf Hei on the basis of an Achanami, and that's the Psak of the Magen Avraham. What would the Rif and the Rambam say about this? So first of all, theoretically, the Rif and the Rambam could get out of this whole question by just saying you did a kesher shein or shalomnas. But as we saw, the Rambam himself said it slightly differently, though this might be what he meant. He said that you made a kesher b'rosh achot. Now, the kesher b'rosh achot might be potter because it's not a ma'aseh shalomnas, or because he disagrees with the Urayim. Okay, so that was the Rambam. And again, we sort of noted that we raised the question of whether or not, you know, potential nafkamina here would be if you, between these conceptual definitions of the malacha, would be whether breaking a knot is matir. Do we say breaking a knot is just, do we see matir as just untying a knot or even breaking a knot? If you say the gather of the malacha is more about joining two things together, i.e., definition of malacha number one or two, so then it makes sense that if you break a knot and you separate the two things, that should be matir. Whereas if you follow definition number three, that kosher is about creating a knot, so it could be that matir means untying a knot, bedafka. Take a look at Dirshu note number 10. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman that breaking a knot is mutter if it's derech kilkel at the very least. Okay, maybe we'll talk about that a little more when we get to matir. So let's just chazer quickly the answers that we saw in the Rishonim to the question of how do you explain the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis. Ramban says that the answer is Shazran, you twisted them together. We cleared about the question, would the Rambam disagree with that? Maybe the Rambam would disagree, because the fact that Rambam says you're chayv for posel chavalim, maybe he would therefore disagree with that. Maybe yes, maybe no. The Urayim answered that the Gemara is talking about where you made one knot, it's b'chayv mishum kosher, you need two knots. The Rambam, we said, is where you tie the knot at the end of each string. That's going to be Pater Mishum Kosher, maybe because he disagrees with the Urayim, maybe because it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama. We had the Ritva's first answer, who said that when you made a Kesher, that was just L'chaze Katfira, so then that's only Tofer, not Kosher. We explained that using the Lamdas of Rav Moshe. Maybe that was also the Pshat of the Rambam. We have the third answer of the Ritzvah, that you had a kesher shenu shel kayama, and that's chayim yishum tofer not kosher. We said that's the machlokas Rabbeinu Yoel and the Rivos about that point. We have the Ritzvah on Kofem Beis that said in a chanami. All right, so we're out of time for now. What we're going to talk about next time, we'll talk a little bit, maybe a little more about posel chavalim. But the main thing we're going to talk about next time is the question of Kayama, the Machlokas Rashi and Ritva and Tosva Rambam. We'll talk about the Shilte Giborim, we'll talk about double knots, and all those types of interesting questions. And then all the discussion. Hi, Zach. We're going to start our other shiur in a minute. All the discussions of in the Beis Yosef, the complicated discussions of how long it needs to be for it to be considered Kesher Kayama. 1 day, 7 days, 3 days, the very interesting sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham. So make sure you've gone through those Beis Yosefs very carefully. The Kolbo's interesting sheet. I assume that by next time, talk about the Machlokas Rameir and Chachamim. Is there Machlokas Tanayim? Take a look at the Ritva and the Pesha Mishnah Yisla Rambam over there. And that long Bir Halacha, the Machlokas between the Bir Halacha and the Taz, about how you define Kesher Kayama, is it totally in a person's intent or not? But we'll do that next time. That's interesting. Minchas Chinuch on that. I don't know, some other things, but that'll be next time. We'll talk about the Magen Avraham's cool over here, the Ramah Shvus B'Makom Tsar. Is that a general rule or is it specific to here? Tell you about all the practical halachos of tying shoelaces. Oh, and then this is very important. I want to talk about, if you can, do that gra that I sent you in Hilchos Sukkah, the Ravya and the like. That's a very important question. So make sure you do that. I'm hoping, though I don't know, that we'll be able to finish up next time. Bezras Hashem, finish the malacha. I don't know.
Which malacha is next?
Tofer. So here's what I was thinking. We'll do Tofer next, Tofer and Korea. Hopefully we'll finish Tofer and Korea before Pesach, and then we'll have some time for Chazara, and maybe it makes sense to have a Bechina. And then we'll pick up from after Korea next time, after Pesach. Okay, have a good day, and I'll see you later.